All right. Gamma Masher with the Chico Vibe. Hey, quick public service announcement. I know James McMurtry is playing at the Women's Club, KZFR Benefit, and it's a small group. I think there was 40 tickets sold. Don't fear. You're going to be able to listen to that live. And the sound quality on these live shows here at KZFR are awesome. Speaking of awesome, we have in the studio Sienna Kelly. Welcome to the Chico Vibe, Sienna.
Hi.
I think you've been on every show I've done but this one. So now you can cross that one off. Off your bucket list. So okay. Welcome. Sienna's a local musician, singer, guitar player, songwriter, just artist extraordinaire. And she's going to tell us what the Chico Vibe means to her.
Basically, the vibe in Chico that we get from our music community is so powerful. There's so many people here that will uplift you and work with you and help you try and be the best you can be. And that's really empowering for me. And I feel like not a lot of small cities have such a great community like we do, if that makes sense.
It does. You get like people like Marnie Bass.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Yeah, talking about the Miami Rogue Roosters, and you played down there at Maltese. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. And there's just, you know, a good amount of opportunities here for the size city it is.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about your experience. Sienna Kelly was featured in the ER Sessions. That's a series through the Enterprise Record, and they produce, and they have a YouTube channel, and they have a music video, and Foxy Jeff, friend of mine, and he's actually subbed the show. Anyway, he writes stories about the artists, and he talked about you're wanting to be a music teacher. So anyway, tell us a little bit about that experience of being involved with that, and, you know, how are you going to be a music teacher?
That was a lot of fun, actually. Yeah. It was nice to meet up with Foxy and the other people we were working with to film the video. It was a really good experience. They were a lot of fun. I think they asked a lot of good questions, and I really appreciate how they wrote that article. I feel like it did a lot of justice to what I said, and nothing was really changed, and the meaning of what I wanted to get out there was put out there, and that's what I appreciate. And basically, the main point I wanted to get across was the fact that the most influential people in my life have been music teachers, so I hope to be a music teacher for a kid like me someday.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Where are you going to be playing out anywhere? I know you just played, you've been playing a bunch of places. You played Bruising, you played the Chico Vibe, the show at the Chico Ladies Night, then Burgers and Brew, Maltese. It's like,
I just had a big plethora of shows that just happened. I actually don't have anything super planned right now. I mean, I'm always in the works and looking for things. But other than that, I don't have anything on my plate.
Why don't you take us into the ER Sessions? We pulled the audio off the video, it's called You Got That Jazz. So tell us a little bit about writing this song, what this song's about, and then we'll transition to it.
Basically, this song is about an abusive relationship where someone can't quite tell that this person is not right for them, because there are so many things that still attract them and still feel right. And originally, I did not write this song about myself in any way, shape, or form. And about 3 years later, I went through an abusive relationship myself, and it took on a whole new meaning for me. So it's a very powerful song for me now, and it means a lot.
All right, You Got That Jazz here on People Powered Radio. Thanks for coming in, Sienna.
Without you,
strikes that I internalize. Guess I shouldn't be surprised you let me go.
Gamma Mash, August 4th, the Chico Vibe. And as always that we can have him here because we love Jason Cassidy, Arts Devo. He's here to give us the Arts Rundown. Welcome, Casey Farr.
Thanks, Arts Devo. Glad to be here. Glad I could make it down. Thanks for fitting me in during this pre-recorded segment.
The pre-recorded. You'll sound just like you're live, I'm sure.
So what's going on this week? I think the biggest thing... arts-wise, that's going on in my head, at least, is, we wear many hats over at the Chico News Review. I wear the Energy Dome when I'm doing my Arts Devo stuff, but we also put on events, and we are putting on a momentous event on August 26th, our 40th anniversary that week.
Wow.
We've been around for 40 years, and we're putting on a big block party behind the News Review. Free, open to the public. Lots of food trucks and drinks and all that kind of stuff, plus live music. All the musicians we're playing are current or former News and Review folks, from all the way back in the beginning days with Mark McKinnon and Peter Burkow up to guys like Ken Smith today. All of our various acts will be playing. So it's got me in a contemplative mood. I've been thinking a lot about the history of Chico, my history in Chico, and going through these dusty archives of old News and Reviews and stuff, and just seeing how there's been just so many different eras of cool stuff that have happened here in the arts and music in Chico. Mm-hmm.
Did you guys do this for like the 25th? When's the last time you had a big block party like this?
I don't know if we've ever had a block party. We've done party celebrations like with our company. Yeah. I think for the 30th, we all hung out at Scotty's and drank beer and sang karaoke.
There you go. That sounds like a plan. What else, man? What else we got going on?
Well, there's lots of cool stuff. It's summertime, but there's a very satisfying array of stuff that's coming out this weekend. Tonight, Frost Nixon is playing, or this whole weekend, Frost Nixon's playing over at the Blue Room.
Saw it last night.
What'd you think?
Very good.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of one of those things where same old, what comes around again.
It does, and stay tuned. We have the principals who did a pre-record with the actors that do Frost Nixon. And
wonderful.
They actually do a little bit of play acting on the radio. It's a really cool interview.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
I'm a terrible actor.
Yeah.
The worst. I visited a music video once, and I see it every once in a while, and I'm so embarrassed by it because I'm next to a real actor in it. And then the Idea Fabrication Labs, they're doing another one of their maker showcases where they have people come in and show off the things that they can do, various live activities, as well as just seeing the fruits of people's artistic labors. And that's Saturday, August 5th at the Idea Fab Lab. It starts at noon, be gone all day. And if I know the Idea Fab Labs, I'm guessing that there's activities that go well into the night as well. But you have to check with them on that.
All right, Jason Cassidy. Pleasure as always.
All right. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Keep it tuned. 90.1 FM for the rest of the show. And we got Alex Kokonakis, Chico State lecturer, advisor for Stop Trafficking of Persons, or STOP, at Chico State. And she's going to be talking about the Chico News and Review cover, In Plain Sight. And we also have Frost Nixon. We were really blessed. We were able to interview both Frost and Nixon from the Blue Room Play, 2 weekends only. Check that out. Molly Amick, local artist. She's going to be having a meet and greet, Upper Crust. She's got her artwork out there. And we're going to end the show. Naomi Eisenberg from the Bay Area, San Fran to be more specific. And she was one of the Hicks and Dan Licks and the Hot Licks and the many, many other things. I could write a book on Naomi, and maybe someday we will. But tune in for that, and thank you for listening to People Powered Radio. All right, Gamma Mash for the August 4th, the Chico Vibe, and it's my pleasure to have on the phone in a pre-record Alex Kokonakis, Chico State lecturer and advisor for Stop Trafficking of Persons, or STOP. Welcome to KZFR, Alex.
Hey, thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Alex is joining us today on KZFR to discuss In Plain Sight. Human trafficking goes unrecognized and reported right here in Chico. And this is the cover story in this week's Chico News and Review. And I thought it would be important to read the first paragraph. Crystal shivered like many of Yanya Lalich's students. She felt her emotions stir as her professor described so vividly in front of her a phenomenon that seems distant. Human trafficking has long been a topic for Lalich, a noted expert in cults and mind control, has discussed in sociology classes at Chico State. She explains that a victim need not necessarily get smuggled from one place to another. Trafficking, by definition, involves one person conscripting another by coercion, fraud, or threat for commercial gain. This activity spans international slave trading to local pimping. Crystal processed what she heard. After class, she approached Lalich. The presentation made her aware just then that she knew more about trafficking than she realized. She had been trafficked in Chico, and it's important to note that Crystal is an assumed name for privacy concerns. So what are your thoughts and takeaways from this piece, Alex?
I thought it was a great piece, and for me, it's always a topic that doesn't get talked about enough. We tend to treat trafficking like it's something that happens somewhere else, some other country or big cities, and this does happen in our backyard. This does happen to our college students. This happens to people in the community that we have interacted with. As Kate and Yanya will both tell you, most of us, probably all of us, have had some interaction with a trafficked person at some time in our life. You know, I think the article is perfectly named in that regard. And I think it was a great piece. This is stuff that we have to talk about. I know we don't want to talk about it because it's uncomfortable, and this idea that we may even be sitting in a classroom with someone that this may have happened to, but we've got to talk about it. So I'm really glad that this is not just a story in the CNR, but the cover story. And coming into the fall, coming into the school year, where we're going to have more young people in the community who will be vulnerable, but also, you know, thinking about where we are as locals and citizens of Chico and Butte County and what we can do to try to make this problem obsolete.
And I think it's very, very difficult for victims to come forward. Yeah, I think Chief Link O'Brien had some comments around how unreported this is. Maybe mm-hmm. you could give our listeners a little dynamics on, you know, why that might be.
Yeah, so a lot of reasons people don't come forward and, you know, go to the police and say, I've been trafficked or things like that. A lot of the reasons revolve around not just them physically not being able to. You know, we often think with trafficking, we think of somebody being physically restrained, but we see restraints in other forms, such as threats that if you try to leave this circumstance or you go to the authorities, that you know, the chapter will attack their family or a loved one or other people who are trafficked, like the individual. So, you know, if we, for example, if we see several women stuck in a sex trafficking situation, if one goes forward to the police, the others will be punished. So there's pressures in that form. It also, we see a lack of knowledge in our, you know, in our law enforcement. That's getting a little better, but sometimes it gets overlooked. There's loopholes in the legal system that make it so, you know, people can't get help even if they are coming forward. And we, you know, we see law enforcement in on this sometimes. So if you go to, say, the police and say, hey, I've been trafficked, I need help, sometimes we see people actually getting a cut and they'll bring you right back to your captor. So there's a lot of reasons people can't get help. But a lot of that is focused around lack of awareness on the community as well. So you may be asking for help in your own way and people aren't seeing it too.
Listeners just joining, we're speaking with Alex Kokonakis, a Chico State lecturer and advisor for Stop Trafficking of Persons, or STOP. So let's transition now, Alex, to your role as advisor to the STOP organization on campus. And I guess we should start with, what is it? What is STOP?
So STOP is an amazing club. I can't emphasize enough how excited I am to be in this role. Especially having seen what STOP does as a student myself at Chico State, now, you know, now as a lecturer. So STOP is basically a campus club. It's open to the public, though. It's not solely a student organization. So people in the community can come and participate. But basically STOP is addressing the issue of lack of awareness about human trafficking, trying to educate people on their consumer habits and where that falls into trafficking, and looking around them and looking for signs. So there's a lot of emphasis on the club's part of educating the community on awareness, but also finding out what's going on in our community. We have a conference that we do annually, where we bring, you know, experts and authorities who can come and help us find ways to address trafficking, both locally and theoretically internationally, as we're educating our campus and our community.
So what's your role, Alex, as the advisor of this group, this organization?
My role as the advisor is basically to help these students. We have such an incredible group of students. Actually, you may have heard some of them on Youth for Justice a few months back, mm-hmm. but help this group kind of see their ideas come to fruition. So, you know, when they have events they want to put on or information they want to distribute, it's my job to help with the logistics and the feasibility, you know, handle some of the financial, you know, budget needs with the school and things like that. So my job is to help facilitate and to guide them, you know, through what they may want to see happen. So as somebody, you know, who's been in groups, clubs on campus, and somebody who, you know, has some ability to make some things happen, you know, just as a teacher on campus, it's my role to help them do what they think we should do about this.
How can people get involved, Alex?
People can get involved by coming to meetings. We're going to determine a meeting time this semester. What we usually try to do is find a time that works for most members. So like last semester, it was on Thursdays. We'll see what it's going to be this semester. But come to meetings, which you can find out about on the STOP website, or the STOP Facebook page is a great resource as well. Come to events, but even if those things don't work out, educate yourself, know what you're buying, where you're going, and the ethical practices of those places, being conscientious and knowing what the signs of trafficking are. So maybe we can help some people out of a bad situation.
Yeah, I'd like to end with a little more comments from Crystal from the piece. Crystal writes, though I was never held at gunpoint, I'm still traumatized. Being trafficked follows you for a long time. Any closing comments around that, Alex?
just I think this was a great article. I think this is a topic we need to bring to the foreground more, and I'm glad that you are bringing this onto the air for the Chico Vibe, and this is important. It's not a pleasant conversation, of course, but we have to have it, because there are so many people that are affected by this problem, and we can't ignore them. We can't leave them in the dark.
All right, that website for the Stop Trafficking of Persons is homepage csuchico.edu/stop, and they can be found on Facebook by doing a search for Stop Trafficking of Persons, CSU Chico.
Yeah, I'm a mash for the August 4th The Chico Vibe Show, and I'm real pleased. I may have the two primary actors in Frost Nixon, a play at the Blue Room, two weekends only, August 3rd through August 12th. And we have Joe Hill, who's performing as David Frost. And we have David Davalos performing as Nixon. Welcome to the studio, guys.
Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Good to be here.
All right, man. I want to shed some light. I mean, I've been to the Blue Room a couple of times, and it's a magical place. So if you could shed some light on how magical a venue it is for a performance like Frost Nixon.
You know, we've been here in downtown Chico for nearly 25 years. I think this is our 23rd season here in Chico, and just kind of bringing what we think is the best in American theater, well, American and national theater, contemporary theater, to the Chico audiences. And so, you know, we're trying to do stuff that's a little bit, you know, a little bit not outside of just your everyday fare, doing the thing that might be a little bit more cutting edge, a little bit more relevant to what's going on in our country and in our community right now.
So, Joe Hill, I understand you're performing as David Frost. Tell us how cool that is.
It's super. It's it's wonderfully cool. I've always been a big fan of those 70s talk show hosts, David Frost and Dick Cavett especially. And so I've always had a bit of a fascination for that era of the sort of the superstar journalist host kind of characters. And so to be able to do that and portray David Frost, the character who I've actually kind of admired for many, many years, is I don't want to say it's a dream come true, but it certainly is pretty cool.
Nice. What about you, David, as far as performing as Nixon?
Well, it's a little tricky. You know, it's fun. This is the second show that Joe and I have done. What was it, 10 years ago? 8 years ago?
2006.
Something like that. Yes. We did Nixon's Nixon, which is a two-person play about the last night of Nixon in the White House before he resigned. And so this is not a sequel, but it's a follow-up to that kind of the kind of energy that Nixon had in the last days, the final days, as Woodward and Bernstein calls it. And he's just a great, I mean, even if he weren't a real person, Nixon's a great character. He's almost Shakespearean in that a lot of the same qualities that lifted him to power ultimately brought him down. And he's just rich in terms of the things you get to do vocally and physically and his kind of awkward social interactions with other people. He can be very comic and at the same time very threatening. So it's a very fun character to play.
Let's jump into the play. I thought you did the Facebook event page. You can find it out on Facebook if you want to know more about the event. But it starts out by saying, and I think this is important to say because you got it right at the top, the Blue Room elevator is out of order.
We do have an elevator. The Blue Room is located on the second floor, just right above Collier Hardware Store. And so we have an elevator that goes up, but we were notified just like 3 days ago that the elevator is broken, and it's going to be about 2 or 3 weeks before that gets fixed. And so as of right now, the elevator at the Blue Room is not working. So you're going to have to handle the stairs.
I think that's important to get up for our listeners. But okay, here's the story. A paranoid and spiteful president is bent on using the media to lie and spin his way out of the biggest political scandal in American history. No, not Trump and Twitter in 2017. This is Nixon and television in 1977. Those that do not pay attention to history are doomed to repeat it. And it looks like the majority of Americans need to go back and look at the history. Don't worry. The Blue Room is here to help. Why don't you guys jump in and take it from there, man? Fill us in on this play.
Well, I think, as David had said earlier, we had done a play called Nixon's Nixon back in 2006, and I played Kissinger, and he had played Nixon, and we just had a wonderful time with it, and it was hugely popular at the Blue Room. We'd always had this play, Frost Nixon, on our radar as doing up as a kind of a follow-up. And then, you know, things happen. No, we can't do it now. Can't do it here. Let's do something else. And we did some other plays in the interim. But then after the election in November, kind of said, hey, remember that Frost Nixon? Now might be the time to do that. And so we started to explore it. And then sort of as this current presidency was going on, we just saw that the story that was unfolding was very similar to the story that unfolded back in 1972 through 1976 and the whole Watergate unfolded. And we just said, well, now is the time to do it. Now we kind of have to do it. And so I called up David, who doesn't live here in town. He lives in Boulder, Colorado. I said, David, come on. You got to come out. This is the time to do it. It's now or never for the Frost and Nixon. And he agreed. Would you agree?
Yeah, I would agree. It's funny, when Joe and I were talking seriously about the dates for this and everything, it was in January, February of this year. And I said, my only concern is I wonder if Trump will still be in office by the time we get around to doing the play. And I guess, you know, we don't open for another couple of days, so it's still possible.
It's
amazing how often you see in the news reports about what's going on with Trump, how often it's compared to what Nixon did. The Saturday Night Massacre, where Nixon tried desperately to find somebody to fire the special investigator, Archibald Cox. We see that going on with Robert Mueller right now and the pressure being put on Jeff Sessions to do it. So, like they say, history repeats itself. The first time is tragedy. The second time is farce. And I think we're getting back to the tragic dimension with the play as we're living through the farce in real life.
Now, you two gentlemen, you're obviously the principals in the play, but are there any other actors involved in the play?
Oh, yeah. There's quite a wonderful cast, and we've assembled some of the better actors here in Chico. We have Kelly Houston is playing Nixon's right-hand man, Brenner, and we have Alan Lundy is in the play, directed by Roger Montalbano. Sean Green is in there. And we've got Nicole Collado and Eula Router and a lot of the Suzanne Papini, Dave 12-Pack Sorensen, and there is Swifty Lazar, who's going to bring a lot of laughs as well. So we've got just a very strong cast as well that kind of brings the whole story of the whole story revolves around Frost getting this idea to interview Richard Nixon and then everything that had to happen in order for that to actually take place. And then the second half of the play is looking at the interview that David Frost actually did as well, which went on to be quite famous because it was the first time that Richard Nixon actually publicly acknowledged and actually apologized for the wrongdoings that he did, and actually publicly acknowledged and confessed that indeed it was a crime what he committed. So,
and it's directed by the ever loving Roger Montalbano.
Absolutely.
Tell us how much fun it is being an actor under Roger's direction.
Well, I think that the entire crew that we've assembled, the entire crew that Roger has assembled in this, I kind of came to him and said, look, David and I want to do this. We need a director. We need somebody to fill everything else out. And so Roger got, on the horn, and he can be pretty influential, and mostly because he always promises to have a good time. And we really have had that. It's been a wonderful rehearsal process in getting this together. And I think all of us are really very excited about the potential for what is going to happen here. We've got a very solid play, and I think people are really going to enjoy what's happening.
Nice. And you said it's weekends only, so it's like Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Maybe give us a little insight on when we can
go. Sure. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights at 7:30, and that's August 3rd, 4th, and 5th, and then 10th, 11th, and 12th. Tickets are starting to sell pretty well, and you can get them at the Blue Room website, mm-hmm. or they're also available at the bookstore downtown as well.
I understand Frost and Nixon's going to take us out with a little bit of banter that you'll hear in the play.
Yeah, we can give you a little taste. Here's a little introduction of when Frost and Nixon first come together as they're settling into their chairs right before the actual interview, right before the tapes start rolling. They have a little bit of a conversation, and so I thought that might be kind of fun to do right here. So just before we get started, Mr. Nixon, I just want to say how delighted we all are that Mrs. Nixon's recovery.
Well, thank you. It's true. She's much better. And is getting round to the business of replying to all the cards. Have a guess how many she received? 100,000.
Goodness.
Mostly from school children. Isn't that interesting? And from our point of view, I'd just like to say how pleased we are you got all this together.
Well, thank you.
I understand it's been quite a struggle. How much has it cost? Do you mind me asking?
Well,
oh, come on. Between us. No doubt at some point you're going to want me to make painful admissions, too. At least you have the advantage of the cameras not running.
All right, then. 2 million.
2 million? Well, I didn't realize we were making Ben-Hur. you've raised it all now?
Not quite. We're almost there. Everyone's been quite kind. Deferred fees.
Yeah, not quite everyone.
All right, man. Give it up. Give it up. Joe Hill performing as David Frost. And that was David Davalos performing as Nixon, and check it on out, man. The Blue Room, August 3rd through the 12th. Thanks for coming in, guys.
Thank you so much for having us.
Great to be here.
Guillermo Mash for the August 4th Chico Vibe. Got Molly Amick on the phone. We're going to talk about her paper art reception. August 5th, 2 to 5 p.m., Upper Crust Bakery right here on Main Street near the bookstore. Hello, Molly Amick.
Hi, how are you doing?
Very, very good. Do your very best shot at explaining this wonderful art that you make out of paper napkins for our listening audience without the benefit of seeing it.
I'll go ahead and try. When I say cocktail napkins, people's eyes sort of roll back in their heads. But yeah, I've become a collector of napkins now. I have hundreds of them. And what I do is cut out little pieces of everything from hundreds of napkins, and then I rearrange them into my own vision. They're usually about 16 by 20 is the size, and I initially lay them down in the design. A design will take me, a couple of weeks to do because I have to cut and rearrange. And then what I do is cut a piece of plain backing cloth, and then I lay down a layer of plain white tissue on top of that, and then I build my design. So when I start building the design, because it's done wet with an archival glue that's really thinned out, it's about 12 to 14 hours, and I do that straight. So I don't usually see my family, or they tuck plates under the door when I'm working.
Yeah, that's what Sterling says.
And then once they dry, I dry them for about 2 days. Then I can iron them, and I can pull them off the cloth so they actually work as their own pressed piece of paper that's pretty thick and durable. And then usually I frame those myself. I worked in the past life as a framer.
I'm looking at your the profile, the photo for your art reception on the 5th at Upper Crust.
It's gorgeous. One of my safer pieces. I tend to do pretty edgy stuff. I like archetypes. I sort of like to enjam themes of life and death. I really love Mexican culture.
But it's so cool how you blend these flowers into like this fake skyline with the palm trees and the seagulls flying over the water. It's got a nice feel to it. What can people expect at your art reception other than obviously seeing this fine art?
I'm going to be there from 2 to 5, so you can meet me. Most of my stuff at the Upper Crust, I've got 4 originals there, but I've taken up doing some metal printing. I also print on paper, but I didn't frame any of the paper prints this time. I just did my images on metal, which I sort of like because it makes them really shiny and you don't have to bother with the expense of framing them.
Right.
But it's sort of a retrospect of the work that I've done in the last year and a half. I have everything that I've done on metal prints. Yeah. And the Upper Crust is sort of a nice space to see everything that I've done over the past year and a half.
I can say because I went to your home to see you present, and then I went to the Has-Been show, and I've been up to the art at the Matador. So I've seen and talked to you for three times. But for listeners, that are thinking of going to this reception, you do such a beautiful job. You have so much joy explaining your art. I mean, you really pull people in, and you just do. It's fun. It's fun.
Yeah, I sort of took this up later on in my life, but I just was cleaning out some stuff, and I was like, oh, look, Sterling, I was doing collage 25, 30 years ago. So I found a piece that I had been doing. So I've always done art through my life, but, of course, I came from a family of, you can't make your living as an artist. You have to become a nurse or, something. Mm-hmm. So now I don't have to be a nurse anymore.
Listening to Molly Amick. She's going to be at an art reception on Saturday the 5th, 2 to 5 p.m. Any closing comments, Molly Amick?
Oh, come out and talk to me. I love to talk about art, and I'd love to meet new people and hear what they're doing in their lives. So come out and chat.
She does. I can confirm this. I can fact check that for our listeners. All right, see you there, Molly. Thanks so much for doing this short little interview here on the Chico Vibe.
Great.
All right, get on down, Upper Crust, man. Check out that Molly Amick show. And checking out something here live in the studio, we have Naomi Eisenberg, former
Stand in up, what you mean, at Bust the Streets of San Francisco, studied at the Street University. Welcome That's to the right. studio there, Naomi Eisenberg.
Yeah, I even graduated to the next level.
The next level. Awesome. What level might that be?
I don't know. Musician level? You just asked Timothy Leary.
Ask Timothy Leary. What are we going to talk about today, Naomi? I kind of introduced you. I said, you know, we could write a book on Naomi. Maybe we will someday. So what chapter do we want to talk about? What comes to mind?
Perhaps my mother put me on a plane from New York City in 66 because I got busted for pot. And in the city, that was rough. Of course, there were other people that were doing harder things, but I didn't know them.
Yeah.
Wrong place, wrong time. So where did she send me to get away from drugs?
San Francisco.
Berserkly. at the very start. Actually, started in 65 with the Trips Festival, I believe, of the psychedelic era.
What were some of the early bands you played with in San Fran?
In San Francisco? Yeah. Oh, that's kind of getting ahead of it. As far as I didn't really start playing San Francisco until my first band, Dancing Food and Entertainment, was hired by Chet Helms, who started the Family Dog, and he had a couple of places that the Avalon Ballroom was at, and one of the places was on Sutter Street in San Francisco, Sutter and Vallejo, and Dancing Food and Entertainment was my first band, and we got picked up by Bill Graham. He enjoyed us, and he signed us up to be with his booking agency. So we got to do some Fillmore gigs. I remember I was booked with Santana, Dancing Food, and Sonja Chaplin. And we didn't get too much prestige because people thought it was like free beer. They thought Dancing Food and Entertainment was like, you know, even the guy couldn't even give us credit because the guy who made the poster book didn't show up until 71, and that makes a big difference.
Dancing Food and Entertainment sounds like a Dead show, too. Could be, right?
Yeah, well, we even played with the Dead. Yeah. Dancing Food, we played in Mountain View or something. There's actually a real primitive poster that somebody drew, and it's got a pyramid power, you know, and it looks like it was drawn by some kid.
Yeah.
Far cry from Mouse and Kelly.
So for our listeners that may not know you as a musician, Naomi, what instruments do you play? What's your forte?
My forte is vocals, and then comes electric violin. That gives me I enjoy playing electric and acoustic, depending on whatever it calls for. Usually acoustic is for more folky type stuff, and when I want to get down with the blues and raunchy, electrified.
What was after Dancing Food and Entertainment?
Let's see. Oh, by the way, we have one thing in common. I just want to say about that. Dan Hicks and the Hot Licks came next, but we actually had one thing in common. Dan Hicks had a violinist, and it was David LaFlame from It's a Beautiful Day before he started his own band. He was with Dan. A lot of people don't know that.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
And I never heard of that group before until I saw them one day at Sproul Plaza in Berkeley. And I said, hey, another violinist. And then I said to myself, oh, we got two different styles going here. He sounds like he took lessons.
That was always my favorite little clip where you were in some really cool venue and you talked about you went to go get violin lessons and the violinist didn't like how your style.
The teacher refused to teach me.
Yeah.
He was a very strict. At that time, in the 60s, it was either bluegrass, you know, Appalachian and all that, but that was just kind of coming on the folk scene through the college crowd. But, you know, this guy was a real uptight classical teacher, and they hold things, they have very strict rules. You check out Doug Kershaw and Cajun music, people are playing on their knees, you know, whatever.
Fun part about that interview, you were kind of like, look where I am now.
Oh yeah, that was at Davies Hall with all these great pianists.
Yeah,
that was
amazing.
And the German teacher told me to go home, I'm not teach you anymore, you don't follow instructions.
There you go. How long were you with Dan Hicks? Maybe some insights on that. That seems like
I can say I was with him officially for about a little over 3 years, but almost all his life, up to the point even after he died, we were being called often, not quite often, but often to do the original band setup, along with, if they were willing to pay enough, what Dan wanted was a whole new fresh meat.
Now we have a song here that we're going to try to slip in the middle of the interview. We actually did a street recording of this, which I love. This is from Alien Nation. Maybe it gives a little insight. Maybe we're skipping a few years, but I think that was the early 80s. But this next song that we have we were going to play is Alien Nation, Palestine, Yours or Mine. What's the story on that?
The story on that is, talk about eclectic. You know, I love all styles of music. I love jazz. I could play you many songs of mine, and they're totally different styles. I joined this group mainly. It was the answer to the Ronald Reagan years. God, he was second worst to what we have now. Mm-hmm. And that's why all the mental people are on the streets now. They don't have places to put them, so they put them in jail or on the street. Yeah. And anyway, Alienation got together in answer to our hatred for him. And, and it was a total political band. We had so much fun. We took our bus, our little Volkswagen bus, all the way to NYC, New York City, in my old hometown, and played CBGBs and a few other gigs, Maxwell's in Hoboken and some places in Pennsylvania. And we had fun, but the ride was just too grueling on all of us. It was so grueling. Plus, we had a couple in the band, and that's always difficult anyway.
Having a couple?
A couple.
Like you know, husband and wife couple.
Yeah, if they get into fights, if they have, it's very difficult because we're all stuck in the same place.
Yeah, yeah, you got nowhere to go.
Yeah, yeah, but I had so much fun with that band though. We even ate together every meal. We'd go to the Mission. We'd go, boy, we got all over San Francisco and always ate out together.
Well, here you are. This is from Naomi Eisenberg with Alien Nation, Palestine, Yours or Mine, here on People Power Radio.
I'm fighting.
like a cool little backstory on, you know, what people had said about this band and their style of music. How did that go?
Well, Roy Tracon from, I forget what major record label, he couldn't believe how a girl who he just heard do jazz, sweet, soft jazz out of Dan Hicks and the Hot Licks and Country Swing. What are you doing in this band, Naomi? And I thought it was hysterical. I said, having fun. And this band had everything to do with prophecy in a way. Mm-hmm. A lot of things have come true. Of course, Palestine, that whole thing's been going on for years after year. And that song, by the way, was written by a cantor, which is a Jewish singer for the Jewish, I hardly can tell you what he is, but he wrote the song. And it's interesting because it doesn't take sides.
Yeah, that's important.
Yeah.
You got a whole list of songs. You're going to kind of go through some of the different people you recorded with and some songs.
Yeah, it's mainly a list of bands I've been in, starting before Dan Hicks, like I say, psychedelic era.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, junior high school doo-wop band, Naomi, Danny, and Joey.
Wow, that must have been awesome.
That was in Queens. Yeah, we played the school dance.
That's awesome.
And let's see, after Dancing Food, I was with Rubber Duck with Chicken Hirsch Drummond. He was with Country Joe and the Fish. I got him to play with me. And then I joined Dan Hicks, and we got to tour with Elton John. Elton John's first American tour in the early 70s, Hall & Oates. And, of course, my favorite, on their live comic act before they went into the movies, Cheech and Chong.
You opened for them?
My man. No, they opened for us.
There you go.
They were a comedy act.
Like that.
And they were just starting to get known. Uh-huh. They just like us. We had the same bookers. We were going on the same path. And we played a lot of high-low clubs with them. And we had a lot of Chicanos in the audience, too. Uh-huh. It was really fun. And they cracked me up. And let's see. Yeah, after Dan Hicks, I had a band, Tenderloins, played some, it was around the Vietnam War era, so we did some army bases. Then I met the drag queens, the Cockettes, and Pristine Condition. That was John Waters' friend, Lady Divine, who did Hairspray, and the Cockettes were a drag troupe from San Francisco. And then, in order to get away from too much of the same, I had to go eclectic again, and I went to Austin with Redneck Country, but it was Austin this time, home of the Cosmic Cowboys. They were cowboys that took psychedelics mm-hmm. and were totally cool. So I got to jam and know Jerry Jeff Walker, play with Ray Wiley Hubbard. I got to play on the same bill with Nitty Gritty Dirt Band and a bunch of bands. And then after that, came back home, got into a band with a group we called the Dadas, and Sam Shepard was always out in the audience. He was so good looking. Sam Shepard would be sitting there with Michael McClure, who wrote Janice's Mercedes Bands. Of course, I had another friend that just told me the other day that he wrote it.
Who to believe?
Yeah, what do they call that, fake news?
Yeah.
And then after the Dadas broke up in 76, I had a band and was able to get Rockette Morton from Captain Beefheart. He was living down in Palmdale.
I always loved that name, Captain Beefheart.
Yeah, same hometown as Frank. Well, I don't know where Frank Zappa was originally, but those guys, they all seemed to settle down in Palmdale. And we got Rockette away from his trailer and his telescope that he would look at in the sky.
Meant to take us out with the song. I think is this a Dada song, the Morning Star one?
No, the Morning Star one was actually done on a computer. The only thing that's live is, I'd say, well, there's a few live things, but it was produced by me and my friend Ray Starr.
Uh-huh.
And I wrote all the words and the lyrics, and I actually played the keyboard on this when you hear it.
Nice. This is kind of punky, too. Not quite as punky as the last one.
I call it kind of poppy. I was trying to sort of do a Hair thing, sort of in a way of whatchamacallit on Hair, a satire on Hair.
It's wonderful having you in the studio. We'll have
cool
to have you back,
dudes.
You know, because
it's wonderful that you let me in here, dude.
I love listening to your stories. You're just a Chico treasure.
They're all made up fake news.
All righty, thanks for listening to Chico Vibe. The rite of passage is in the house. Tune in next week.
Utopian dreams, all's not what it seemed. All those dreams were never won. Charlie Manson had his fun. The yuppies say the joke's on you. So what's this twisted girl to do? Piano notes drip through the air. The gurus in some strange Zen prayer. Hell's Angels, Runaways, Draft Dodgers, Purple Haze. Now don't hitchhike, you just don't pay. You know they're gonna get you anyway. The earth is burning, I'm feeling blue. So what's this twisted girl to do? So twisted. The naked bodies, stripped of the innocence from within, morning star. For all those dreams were never won. The right wing is still having fun. Timothy Leary's just a show at the Stone. Heard about our secret hideaway, morning star. I'm a morning star.